Colorado. With up to 500 newton meters of torque, it won't look new for long. Welcome to the Saturday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Nothing better than the Saturday Rub, of course. It kicks off 12 o'clock and we're in the Richard Marsland studios. And I can just sense a little an hour and a half of tension, of really uneasy sort of stuff. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because Spud's come in, he's armed with coffee, he's looking... I'm going to get to that in a moment too. So for McDonald's Triple M Rocks Football, Gary Lyons here, by the way, like Gaz.
Jim, good to be here, and I know Spud is excited.
You look at him.
I'm more excited because I've got my other man here next to me.
We're going
to
get to that in just a second.
Trying to fly the flag for him lately.
Yes.
I'll tell you what.
Yep. All right. Well, Spud, what nice to see you.
Great to be here. Can I run with it now?
No. but I know you've got something you want to get off your chest, so that'll be. We'll get to that. Well, hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim, and I've got something on Spud too.
Nice. Well, it might be a little return serve for you, Spud.
Give us your best shot, Warren.
All right.
It will be.
But what we need to do, of course, 138 points last night. Hawthorn demolished Carlton. During the course of that broadcast, not ours, of course, is the television broadcast, their number one analyst, Wayne Carey, the King, who also works for us, had this to say. Have a listen.
Just having a look at Sam Mitchell Healing, I want to ask you a question. Would he get a game at any other club?
Yes. Now, all 17 other clubs.
He would get a game. I think he's a champion of this club, but the fact that his pace in and around the footy, I think that's why he's still such a good player, because they're such a good team. I think in any other team, his pace would be a concern.
I don't really want to say about
you
that.
You don't have to say anything, mate. I think it speaks for itself.
But he could certainly... I can't exactly come back with the same thing. He's probably one of the greatest couple of players that's ever played the game. So I'll work on my speed, I guess.
Now, let me jump in. This is a beat-up story.
Mm.
I want to go back to the great man's words. In fact, he's standing right next to me.
Yes, we introduce him first, Gary. We've reefed him out of Dead Set Legends to give us a couple of minutes.
The top rating.
Welcome to the King.
Gentlemen.
Now, let me repeat what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You said, would he get a game? And then your next quote was, he would get a game. End of story, I say.
That's it.
Answered his own question.
That's it.
What's the big deal?
Not sure.
Well, yeah, what is the big deal? Why are we talking about a couple of comments that I've made instead of that great game last night?
That's probably why we're talking about the comments.
We're talking about it, Duck.
Exactly right. Duck, you got it wrong. Surely the morning after you can admit you got it wrong.
That's why you sit down to wee, don't you?
Duck.
Because
let's just deal with the situation.
Let's deal with the situation here, Damo. I called the man a champion, okay? You'll sit on the fence all day.
No, I don't sit on the fence. No.
So he's a champion. He's still a champion. What I said, you take Mitchell out of that side. You put him in the Carlton side last night. And yes, he'll pick up his 30 possessions. But yes, there'll be more pressure. He's not running to positions that he knows his teammates are going to win. There are so many different ramifications him playing in a lesser club. And not in any way, and I've said this a million times since, not in any way am I begrudging this man as being a champion of the Hawthorn Football Club, triple premiership player, best and fairest winner, All-Australian, runner-up in the Brownlow medal, all of those things.
Premiership captain.
Purely saying that in a lesser side and the way he played, and I come to that, I didn't go there with a preconceived idea of having a crack at Sam Mitchell. I've watched him on Friday night footy a few times. And I love the way he goes. He's the best decision maker in the game. In actual fact, what you're not replaying is I showed a highlight last night, Gaz, and I made them keep it in the truck, keep it in the can for a good 5 minutes. It was one of the first balls that he took on the halfback flank, and he turned while he was on the ground and gave the handball to Burgoyne, which then went up the ground and they kicked their first goal. And I said, that's why he's one of the best players in the competition, because the decision making and the way he puts players through gaps. But then I sat back and I watched him in and around a stoppage, and I watched two or three times Carlton players go around him like he wasn't there. Now, in a lesser team, that gets scrutinised more. That was my point, and I stand by that.
So what's got lost? Yeah. This is the bottom line here. You're not saying, well, not putting words in your mouth. Of course he'd get a game in every other side.
Of course, and that was probably the one thing that came out wrong.
So let's put a line through that. That is what everyone's jumped on. Don't worry, Gary said he's not going to get a game, and when I heard that, I thought, there's some misunderstanding there, because he would get a game. Right. You're questioning whether he would be as effective in another side.
It's spot on.
That's probably how it
came out wrong in that sense. But I stand by what I said in terms of the way he plays in that team. And look, he sets up position and he sets that team up. And you only have to watch him. Mm. He picked up 35 possessions last night and he did it at his will because he can run to position knowing that his teammates are going to win the next ball. Carlton players, they do that. They get burnt. And then all of a sudden, you know what? The pressure you're putting on is terrible and you're not in the side next week. That's my point.
I know the Collingwood premiership side of 1990, guys like Banks, and even Shorey admits that if they hadn't won the flag, they would have all got heaved out of the club. So I think the analogy I think you're trying to make is if he was at Brisbane and they've got a rebuild and he's 32 going on 33, do they keep him? Was that a part of it?
There's an element of that. But look, he's playing career best footy. He's in great form. But this team's in great form. And the pressure is completely different when you're in a lesser team. It was a comment that was made after watching him play in and around and the pressure he puts on. And I've had a million Twitter followers. Thanks for all of those. my Twitter numbers have gone up a little bit.
Yep.
And there's been some good and some bad. But people miss the point because half
no,
the
network. You raised it. You couched it in those terms. I mean, what you're saying is bleedingly obvious, that good players are good in good teams or better in good teams. You would have been not as good if you were playing for Fitzroy at the time, you know, when you started emerging.
You don't think?
Well, not as effective. Who would have got it to you?
Right behind you, Warrior.
Hello.
Hang on, Warrior. You're going into some dangerous territory.
You're on your own now, Warrior.
But the point
I think
is...
the duck's eyes just narrowed. I think it's the lion in the veld again.
The dry lips just had a little bit of a tremor in them too.
If you go to the other end of the spectrum, right, this is to try and put some perspective around it. Oh, there was a moment last night where Dylan Buckley's playing in Carlton side, right? Is it Jonathan O'Rourke?
Yes, Jonathan O'Rourke
playing in the Hawthorn side. Yep. And so there you got two kids that are starting out in their career. Dylan Buckley's playing in a side that are getting beat by 140. He's trying to take the game on. He turns a ball over with a really bad kick twice and they get easy goals. And everyone goes, oh, hey. Jonathan O'Rourke did exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Tried to pick one off at halfback, went on the 45. The ball got turned over. But there was no consequence because they're 120 points ahead. Hawthorn were good enough to pressure up, win the ball back, went down the other end. So there is the difference. And I've said this often, the drafting of a young player has a massive impact on where they go. Now, Dylan Buckley may not get a game. I'd argue that he's as good as Jonathan O'Rourke, Dylan Buckley. So you go and chuck him in the Hawthorn side and see what he's able to do as opposed to Jonathan O'Rourke.
Malcheski from Sydney to the Gold Coast.
Exactly.
So to finish this argument, Damo, just for your sake, I will say this. There has never been, and there's no disrespect in terms of how good this player has been. So I want to make that clear. And I think that if Sam heard everything that I'd said, and not only during the game, but then after the game, there was never that disrespect. It was purely off the back of the pressure that he puts on in and around the footy. That's what it was based on. And I'm certainly not saying, for the record, I'm not saying that he wouldn't get a game for Senate 17.
Would he have the same impact, is basically what you were saying.
Would he have the same impact?
Enjoy the rest of your day, Chair.
Yeah, you've been on air for 3 hours, doesn't he?
Thanks for coming.
And, Warry, ask that question again.
Give it one more go, Purple.
Ask it again.
You are allowed.
You got it very wrong the way it came out.
No, the Fitzroy question. No, the Fitzroy question.
Oh, the Fitzroy question.
Would he have been as good?
Well, who would have quicked it to you, Fitzroy?
No.
We're never always good.
That's it.
You made him good. Mate, don't worry. I watched you live for 20 years.
We didn't just start as a good team, though, mate.
Well, I'm almost of the opinion that the king can clip Damo's wings better than anyone. Just with a stare, and then the purple just gets a little.
I like Warrior. Where am I? I like Warrior, though.
Of course we love him. He goes
back again, right over the other side of the studio.
He's like one of those little cuckoo clocks, isn't he? He asks a question and he goes back inside
I didn't actually go back inside again. I want to get you.
Your shoulders sort of.
I thought you did a little purple.
When Duck sort of looked at you in the try, sort of got a bit of a bulge.
No, it's actually scary when Duck does that when you're having a beer with you.
Especially when he's standing up as well.
Mm. There's a bit of turtle about you. Your head sort of went back in your
head. I don't think it did, guys. It never does.
Last night. So we cleared that up, which is good. But 138 points. the timing couldn't have been worse. We were all fearful of this result, I think. And it was just a matter of how big the margin was going to be. And I know... Well, I don't know, but I suspect Mark Lajudice and all of the people who run the Carlton Footy Club, Stephen Trigg, would have been coming to the ground last night very fearful of what was about to happen for obvious reasons. So 138 is an awful pounding. But Spud, the timing couldn't have been worse because across town there's 99,500 people watching the greatest threat to our game, which is soccer.
No, I watched it and I flicked over on both stations. Got home about 8:30 and saw the score. Could not believe. And Real Madrid had 2 goals on the board and Carlton had 1 at that stage. And they both kicked 4. And look, it was an exciting game to watch. I'm not sure what the viewing audience was on 9, but it was a great coverage. The Carlton thing, and you brought it up, JB, I think about 6 weeks ago now, I reckon to the day, excuse me, about the Carlton Football Club having so many Friday nights, and I think the AFL would have to admit at some stage they got that one.
And by the way, it's not their fault. let's just canvas that. It's not the Blues' fault. No. They just play where they're told to play. So this is no criticism of them. But it's they took this draw to market because they're obviously selling it for the rights. And, you know, I think they've got it wrong. And there's no doubt. And the numbers show that, Gaz. We've seen the Friday night numbers.
Average loser margin is 70 points for Carlton in their 6 Friday night
on the Friday
games.
Night game.
Yep.
And there's a Thursday game as well, too, which was a marquee.
And we're going to have this game again in 6 weeks' time.
Most likely.
It's like being a Friday night.
But also the Friday night ratings numbers over the whole year.
I've had a good look at them, and they're down.
Well, last night, average figures in Melbourne alone, 286,000 on the AFL, and only, when I say only, because I thought there might have been more, 125 on the soccer.
But that is, the 286,000 for Friday night game of footy. And, I mean, I know it's different to way back when we did it, because there's far more options, and that's across the board, and we recognise that from our own shows. But that's a low number. And I would imagine as that game wore on, those numbers would have diminished considerably, and there would have been a switchover factor.
You couldn't watch it.
99,000 people at the MCG. Yeah. There were 26,000 at Etihad Stadium.
How many was left in the last quarter?
13.
I would have thought lucky to be that, because I watched the last 10 minutes. It was sparse.
Put it this way, Spud. I was home on my couch before 11 o'clock.
Wow.
And that's a trap. I'm talking about traffic. Yeah. And that never happens, getting out of that ground. So, no, it was a Duke summed it up beautifully. It's a PR nightmare.
It was the bruise-free game of footy, guys, that I've ever seen. No tackling.
What he did, Johnny Barker, and this is what he will have to assess this is through the week, is he just said, we'll go one-on-one. We'll just go on one and see how we go. There was no... Curnow was trying to get Isaac Smith a bit. White was trying to get to Hodge Mitchell / Lewis. No one was getting to Lewis early. He had 14 touches. Yeah. Brad Hill had 6 uncontested in 5 minutes.
Wasn't that what Mick Malthouse got criticised for? Yeah, and John Barker came in and supposedly changed it around. Yeah. So we went back to going one-on-one.
The ramifications for Johnny Barker. And we'll talk about that, where it sits in his quest to try and get the senior job. But going head-to-head with that side is... a recipe for a 140-point loss.
Well, and Mark Murphy, what did he have, 30-plus with 1 36. Tackle?
Yeah.
When the other mob got the ball the whole game, he's laid 1 tackle.
100%. That's what Mick Mulder, that's what I was most critical of when they were playing, was they never tackled under Mick. They did refine their tackling
for a while,
but Hawthorn were in possession of the footy for 64% of the game.
Yeah.
Those numbers are just not... That's out of whack. Yeah.
That 120 more disposals and 8, and yet they had 8 less tackles.
Yeah, and at one stage they had 7 tackles, I think, in the first quarter.
I watched that first quarter a little bit, and I think Carlton had something like 28 possessions, and Hawthorn might have had 1 or 2 in the middle, and then Cripps turned one over, and Hawthorn had three possessions for a goal, and you know, Carlton were trying to play that style, and look, you got to put it back on the players. It's as simple as that. They pumped up Mick and Mick went. They pumped up Johnny Barker during the week and they basically treated him with disrespect. At some stage, the Carlton list, and that's where Sos, Steve Silvani's got a huge important part to play at the end of the year. Half these guys have got to go. And I know half can't go, but 25% of them just need to pack.
Gaz made, with the help of Tua, I'm sure, made the most alarming statistic I reckon I might have heard for the whole year.
Yeah, I was just about to mention.
It's 41 times they exited out of defensive 50 and converted them into entries into offensive 50 twice.
Oh, no, that's horrible.
41, and they entered twice on the back of them. That is astounding.
No, that is.
What is it normally?
I don't reckon I've ever heard of that.
Look, about 26%
is a really good strike rate.
So 41-2. So just think about that for a minute, Warrior. Under the roof. 41 times you got the ball in your defensive 50, and only twice were you able to get it a further, 65 metres into your forward 50.
So you normally do it 1 in 4 times. Mm. So they did it 1 in 20.
Yeah. And you could hit 2 torpies and get it in there if that's what you wanted to do.
Just to achieve it.
Just to try and get a number up. No, it was poxy. And then look... When we talk about this, we always try and maintain some perspective. So Hawthorn are red, sizzling hot. And the way they play is hard to combat because they're so precise and they're so pure. We saw what they did to two quality sides in Freo and Sydney. So there was always the chance of this happening, but the manner in which it happened. And so, which leads us into Johnny Barker. And I did say last night, I can't see how a board are going to appoint a guy who's just overseen the greatest loss in the history of the game. No. That in and of itself.
Of the club.
Of the club. Yep. That in and of itself is too simplistic. But what added to that, Damo, is the fact that Johnny Barker is a part of the old regime, which had led to the sacking of Mick.
Yep.
And it's a thankless task being the interim coach. They will look for change now.
Oh,
they just have to change and clean it out.
They were anyway, and while the results were significantly better under John Barker than they were with Mick Malthouse, they weren't going to appoint Barker. And I've been saying that long before last night's result, that there's just absolutely nailed that situation down.
So they need new eyes right across the board. And we spoke about this last night too, Jim. You know, if you're an interim coach, do you take the job on or do you not? Because there is a risk of this sort of thing happening, and you have to be exceptional. Only Roosie, I think we could.
And Neil Craig.
Neil Craig was an interim that got the job, yeah. Well, there's only two in however many, so... It's interesting times.
Well, we're going to talk to Billy Hartung shortly, but
he was fantastic.
This Hawthorn side, I said last night in the call, Spud, they put teams to the sword better than any team I've ever seen.
And Chubbs kick six, with one hand.
And speaking of put to the sword, Spud's going to put a couple to the sword.
All right. He looks happy and ready.
No, he's content, isn't he? He's got a contented glow about him. Look at the body.
I'll be content after I get rid of it.
Got a cat that's just licked up all the cream off the floor look about you, Spud,
isn't it? I've got a big fill and I just need to get rid of it.
What you have got, and I'm going to get Big Nose in here to take a photo. Mm. You've got to reverse something about Mary happening.
Oh, no! What's going on the back of your skull?
What is it?
Turn around.
Oh, no.
There it is. I put some wax.
Stuff, JB.
What are you doing? You don't do that down the middle of Brighton Baths.
I did it on the way in the been. Car. So
that's
Rose.
Some bird shit in the back.
You don't wax in the cars, but
Cameron Diaz style.
Oh, that one's funny. I tell you, the Wolfpack are up, and you know what they're up and about. Last night, I didn't want to say this last night because it was getting embarrassing. It's the greatest whacking Warriors ever had on last night.
Yeah. Right.
The greatest love in for Warrior now for putting his chin out and having a go at the king.
The king.
Well done, Warrior.
And standing up.
That's it.
Look at Warrior taking
it.
He's
locking it too. He's got a bit of a look about it.
What I don't know.
He just saw his hairy dog eyes.
He said,
he was like Fatty Vaughton on the NRL footy show.
He had instant rosemary.
Can you please clarify there was no sus behaviour?
What was he doing?
A little bit.
Yeah.
He had instant wood, Warrior.
I don't care what they think of you, Gary.
Just looked at me.
Your people in the pack.
I gave you a pump and you just looked at me just went,
that's me.
I deserve that.
I like it, purple. I like it all.
I'll use Spud's phrase. Get stuff.
Yeah. This man was sensational last night. 138-point win for the Hawks, but the boys on the fringes at the Hawthorn Footy Club have to work overtime to stay in this unbelievable side, and this bloke last night tore it to shreds, and we loved watching, and I'm talking about Billy Hartung, who joins us now on the Saturday Rub. Billy, welcome, mate.
All right, thanks for having us.
Hey, well played last night. I know the boys are going to go into depth, but you must have been really pleased. A big win for your club, but your own performance was great.
Yeah, it's obviously great for the clubs. The club level to also get a great win and get the 4 points against Carlton, and also, as you said, it's great for me to have a good game individually, obviously, because it's pretty hard these days to obviously crack into the side and keep the spot.
Billy, I thought you were magnificent last night, mate, and I've watched you with great interest, and it is difficult when you're trying to crack into an unbelievable side. You've got to bide your time, you go back, you spend a lot of time as a sub, and so every single moment of every single game, you've got to try and make your own, and that's what I loved about last night. The game was over inside 20 minutes, but you were playing like it was a grand final, so you have to be on the edge all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as you said, it's obviously, I'm one of those playing for my spot each week, and I'm still yet to obviously cement my spot. So when I go out there, obviously it's a bit different for other boys out there. Like, obviously I'm out there to really impress and try and keep my spot. So it was pleasing in that result to get a full game last night and make the most of it.
Now, well done, Billy. Excuse me. I thought you were absolutely outstanding. Have you changed your style somewhat from the start of the year? You seem to be going a lot more short with kicks and handballs, or is that just what the opposition throw at you guys and then you adapt to what they're doing?
Yeah, I've changed a little bit in my game, but I haven't changed a great deal. I guess what we do at Hawthorn, obviously, is just that we take what the opposition give us. So if it's that short 45 on, if it was a short kick or handball, I'll take that. But yeah, it's more about just playing the game and what the opposition give to you.
What about your own belief? Obviously, after a game like last night, and as you said, you've been sub a couple of times. Yeah. Do you build on your belief after a game like you had last night?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, obviously, the last couple of weeks have been sub, and I've been able to play most games this year. So, obviously, my belief's getting it's a lot better, and I just feel like now I can contribute to the team and not just be more of a bystander in the team. So, every week that I play, I'm feeling a lot more confident about my football. And to get a full game last night was really pleasing, and obviously, as I said before, to cap on that and make the most of the four quarters was really pleasing.
Billy, the motivation levels of your coach, Alistair Clarkson, continue to amaze. He still regularly refers to 2009 when the club failed to make the finals after winning the premiership in 08. And obviously the slowish start to this particular season seems to be something that's driving him as much as anyone right now. How does he keep you up? And what did he say last night specifically about doing a complete number on the Blues?
Yeah, well, I guess Alistair Clarkson and everyone at Hawthorn has really high standards. And coming in from last year, it was just really noticeable when you first come in, how high the standards are and what the players and coaches expect of you. So, yeah, Clarko last night just really wanted us to play four quarters and obviously not get ahead of ourselves for the game. So we stuck to our game plan and game style, and it came off last night. So we're really pleased at where we are right now, but there's still obviously a bit to go in the for the season.
Speaking of Billy Hartung, young up-and-coming star at the Hawthorn Footy Club. Billy, your running and endurance has been always a massive part of your footy. It was always talked about through the juniors and through your performance at the draft camp. You got yourself, you got Isaac Smith, and you got Bradley Hill in a 3K or 2K. Who wins?
I get asked this question a few times. I'm probably going to have to back myself in there, even though Izzy beat me last year. I'll back myself in.
You reckon you've got him?
Mm. He probably thinks different, but I'll have to back myself in, I reckon.
All right, and that's one thing to have in your bow, but then to go and use it in a game of footy is the next thing. So how conscious are you of that during the game, that, you know, to try and break an opponent, you back your own fitness in? So you look at him and you go, okay, if you're going to play on me, let's see how hard you can run. Do you have that mentality?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, last night, Carlton, they played more of a one-on-one style. So it's great that you can run past players and they can put a block on for you or they can help you out. So it's more, obviously, is trying to run your play, but working with other players as well, and just working in pairs or just working in groups. So you can obviously beat your player and make it a lot easier instead of just trying to beat him one-on-one. But obviously, strength of mine is my run. So if I can use that and help out other players as well, then that's what I'll have to do.
We're speaking with youngster Billy Hartung from the Hawthorn Football Club. Tell us about David Rath. Your kicking over the last 4 years has been absolutely elite, and obviously it gets a little bit down to recruiting, but how much time do you guys in the off-season, because there's not much time in season, spend on the art of the foot skill?
Yeah, well, we're really big on, obviously, implementing the footy into our pre-season. I know a lot of clubs really just focus on more the fitness side, but we're really focused on implementing the footy and the fitness at the same time. So, obviously, when you're really fatigued and you're kicking the footy, it helps when you're not fatigued. So, when it comes to games, we're able to run out of games and still use our high-quality skills. So, Rafty's been real good to me, and he's been good to a lot of players at the club, and I think that's just something we just work on every year.
Yeah, Bill. We like to get mail whenever we get special guests onto this show, and so we've got a little bit on yourself, and I don't believe it, to be honest, so I'm going to put it to you so you can put it straight. You wouldn't have burnt the back of your hair with a hair straightener, surely.
I think Ruffy might have set that one in, I reckon.
Ben?
No, that was when I was in school. It was a long time ago, so that was a while ago.
So it was true, though?
Yeah, what?
Oh, Bill!
Come on, Billy! What were you rolling with, Bill?
Where are you from,
Billy? You got a fair perm.
No, I'm down Mount Martha way.
Mount Martha? Well, that's the other mar we got. Yeah. You're actually a Frankston Bogan.
No. I can tell who's setting this in. This is definitely Ruffy. No, I'm from Mount Martha. Ruffy always likes to claim I'm from Frankston, but I'm well south of Frankston.
Right. Hey, we loved watching you last night, and the club's just flying. So we hope to see you right the way into September doing exactly what you did to Carlton last night, mate. Well done.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Billy Hartung, a very impressive young man and a fine young footballer. Well, Spud wants 5 minutes. I don't think I can hold him back any longer.
More than five.
He wants a whole segment.
Hearing,
no,
not an whole segment.
Well, Purple's got unlike a return
last week,
serve.
Unlike
who's
last week
go first?
When
Me?
He declared he wanted three and got 8 seconds in and said, that's it.
I've got nothing else.
Nothing else.
It was a pop gun last week.
I hope you got something more substantial.
The bullet just fell out of the chamber.
He's taking notes today.
It might be golden trumpet worthy this week. Not sure whether it is or not, Gaz, but you can be the judge.
I've got one on you too, Spud.
Well, who goes first?
You go first.
You go first, Spud, and then Purple will return serve.
Okay. Warrior's still basking in the air.
He is.
He's like a peacock, isn't he?
Oh, he's just sitting there.
The feathers are coming out the
let
back.
Let it go.
How good am I going?
He's got that real look about him.
He got
I like it.
He's had the access number sent through that just topped over 100. So he's got real, look at me.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. Well done, Purple.
Just trying to find one of the pack who's sitting in the airport in Rome.
Rome.
Listening on the internet to the... I've lost him. Too many come through, Jim.
That's it.
I forgot my glasses.
We're global.
Again.
Oh.
We're global.
Yeah, of always global.
So it's great to have them. And Spud, a lot of people commenting on your hair. Look like a grey donut.
Yeah, that's true.
And I've got a tip. I'm going to give the tip out to the pack.
Are we going to get on first?
I'm going to have to give it obscurely because, I mean, my man Teddy Wheeler loves it. And this is one close to home. This is what I'm going to do.
Right.
Melton Trots tonight.
Oh.
Melton Trots.
Going to the Melton Trots.
Panch has got one in.
Oh.
Panch being my dear old dad.
Yes.
And his brother who trains it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Okay.
So they can do the rest.
They can work
the
it
rest
out.
Of the Bed homework can be done there. Are we
gamble
on?
Gamble responsibly.
By the way?
Empty
we're,
out.
We're not on yet, guess. So don't give it.
Don't give it out too severely.
No, giving it. Teddy will be all over that, but he can work it out. But very exciting in Panty. This is the highlight of his life.
I know. Well, let's go with it now, Spud.
Yep.
I've never seen you prepare more ferociously.
Yep.
All through that ad break, you didn't speak to any of us. You just had your head down. Yep. Then you dragged our big nose producer out of the Richard Marsden studio to quietly chat to him.
Yep.
So you ready to go?
I've got a couple of flybys. These are little wobbles.
Right.
Howie does a great job on Dead Set Legends. I'm led to believe. Can't believe he's signing the footies. But anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. But he's what a wank. imagine. Anyway, he's got a clothing apparel sponsor.
What?
I'm led to believe how he's got a clothing apparel sponsor and footwear.
For sitting on the boundary.
He
does more than that, Howie.
I don't mean that.
He does the big bash in the summer and the golf and this is a talented man.
Has he got the sponsorship for when he's on the boundary?
On the boundary, you know, at the top level you got Hugo Boss and Versace.
Yeah.
Howie's got Dimmies and Forges.
Oh, come
and
on.
The footwear is Crocs. So the Crocs, so good luck with him. Winter,
about our man.
You got to start.
Now, also on the footies, you see Wayne Carey, double premiership captain. You got yourself, Gaz, 6-time All Australian, Victorian captain. You got the chief, who's just one of the preeminents. Then you look down. Imagine having this footy on your fireplace, on your bar. Then you look at Barrett. You think, Billy Barrett? You know, Richmond premiership player. You've signed 50 footies, warrior. You are kidding yourself,
buddy.
Now
you're back in that one.
Yeah, you've had that a couple of years in a row now, Spud.
I only do it when I'm asked to do it.
No, Wednesday night you had your big night out with all the.
No, with Jim on that Wednesday night.
Yeah, did you go there, JB?
Where?
To the media night.
No.
On Wednesday night. No. Did you get there with all your friends, your media followers?
Hang on a minute. We're part of the media.
Why didn't we get an invite? That's what I want to know. But what they talk about, Ralphie himself and Robbo, how many Twitter followers they got. And they sort of line it up. And, mate, 3 billion Chinese couldn't give us stuff. Now, I need to get to this one. Now, I may be backing over it, but I don't give a stuff. Now, Melbourne were playing Brisbane. I was doing the game at Fox Sports,
it
was a magnificent win by the Melbourne Football Club.
It wasn't.
Anyway, it was a pretty boring game.
Yep.
And then I look around, and there's front and square is Mark Brayshaw, Angus's dad.
That's it.
In his Melbourne tracksuit. Now, that's real.
That's wankers.
That's real flog material, Mark.
No doubt about that.
But next to him is his tool of a brother, JB.
That's not true.
And then they get a photo of Instagram having a frothy.
No, that's up in the crowd.
Up in the crowd. You were front and square, mate.
Mate,
there was no one else
watching
around
the footy.
You. On your own, you said, where can we get on our own so the cameras
can hone in on us?
And we did that on Fox Sports.
Yep. Of course.
But then I find out, Melbourne haven't had too many wins over the last 10 years.
Bugger all.
And you know the time after a game when you just
at all week, and you want to get
most
a win.
Precious time,
and you've got half an hour to soak it up,
and
soak that win
if
up.
You haven't had a win for it.
The relief, well, the excitement. You get your weeks. Family in there. You get your parents.
Yep.
Then I'm led to believe someone was in there, walked past the players' showers.
That's a no-go zone.
That's a no-go
zone. Well, past a lot of players who were sort of taken
back. No, back off. You're on the
No, taken back.
Nowhere near the shower spot.
Now, JB, did you have to go to the toilet?
I needed a wee spud.
Okay. There's 4,315 toilets at the MCG. Oh, but oh no. I've got to go to one in the Melbourne club rooms.
There are many down there.
You're on to it. G'day, Bernie. G'day, Goody. Where's Rosie? You're the chairman of another club, you flog.
Spud.
So, JB, shut up. Shut up. I know you needed a wee, but there's 4,300 toilets and you know exactly where they all are. Oh, but oh no. I'm busting, boys. Sorry. I've got to just, oh, g'day, Maxie Gordon. G'day, boys. How you going, fellas? And they're going, what the hell? He's a chairman of another club.
Shut up, Spud.
But then he didn't get enough. He's like a hog. Nom, 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 nom. He wants to eat all the pizza. I'm not giving anyone a piece. Nom, 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 nom. It's all about me. I'm going to take the gloss off Melbourne's win because have a listen to this, Kaz.
James Brayshaw, the chairman of North Melbourne, are you at the right ground? I know there's a Brayshaw playing, but is that the reason?
That's the only reason, Robbo. That's the only reason,
he's
exactly.
He
door stopped me on the way out, Robbo. That's how big I am, Spud. I can't go anywhere without being door stopped.
You put your collar up, your head down, and you walk straight out.
That's what I tried to do.
You don't try and eat a microphone, mate.
They love me down there.
Now, I'll tell you what. Here it is.
No!
you have the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh, no.
You have definitely got ahead of yourself, mate.
I can't
mate.
Be back in there again,
mate. You are.
I've won it through the last 4 years.
You look at me and say, if you had your time again, I would go to the toilet somewhere else.
But I wanted to go to the toilet somewhere else. I handed my two young blokes.
No. We don't want to hear
it.
No,
the story, Jim.
4,315. Actually, there's one was broken. Robbo. Anyway, KB. No, we want JB. No, don't. There's no excuse, mate. There's no excuse whatsoever. You are on dead set flog now, and everyone listening agrees with me.
They loved having me in there.
No,
that's
and that's my point. That's my exact point.
I might have had a call through the week.
Oh, listen to this.
Can you talk to your colleague and
perhaps give us
a bit of breathing space.
Former captain.
One of our few wins, perhaps let us enjoy it on our own.
I was in there for a minute and a half.
You're
that
one of the longest
it.
Serving captains of the Melbourne Footy Club, and you wouldn't even go in. You'd probably go in after a loss to say, keep it going,
I'd go
boys.
Out to the car park behind a tree.
Yeah, and just have a little riddle. Yeah. JV,
if I couldn't
have lost
find one of those 4,000 toilets, I'd go out to
the wreck, wait.
Before you take over, Purple, have you finished, bud?
I've finished.
Right, good.
Because that's want to be good,
Well, you put JB under the griller there. I'm going to put you under the same treatment.
Like
okay. You've got a problem. And when you get to that problem now.
Look, what's the problem?
Well, you claim being the fullback of the team of the century for 6 years until Gary exposed you. So that's one little issue.
Expose him, I stumbled across it.
You stumbled across it. We also know, and for those people who forget, 2 years ago we revealed on Triple M Footy that at an AFL concussion research seminar, you were introduced to the gathering and given a name tag with the words Dr. Daniel Frawley on it. So that's all.
It was a mistake.
That's all established as facts. I want to go back to Thursday nights ago.
No.
So not the one just gone, but the one prior to that.
Yeah,
Thursday.
Yeah.
Do you know where you may have been?
I got a fair idea.
Okay, well, I'll tell you where you were. Yeah. You're at the Bridge Road Imaging Clinic's launch.
Yeah, Grand Dr. Rowan White's new setup across the road from the Epworth there.
Yep. Yeah. It was a who's who of the medical world, and there was hardly anyone from football in there. There was one person from football in there.
Oh, don't tell me Dr. Frawley wanted it.
And there was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. There was a man who is the chairman of Australia's greatest and strongest private health firm, worth $4.5 billion. There were doctors flown in. There were doctors flown in from around the country. We're talking, Gary, it's a who's who of the medical world. There were three guest speakers on the night.
And?
Two medical people. There was also a third person who was introduced to the crowd as Dr. Daniel Frawley. Now look me in the eye. Is that true?
Spud.
Sort of.
Spud?
Sort of.
Can you do this, Spud?
You can't be introduced as a doctor.
Now,
the girl from Sydney has got no idea of AFL footy. The invites come down from Sydney, J-Bo. What was I to do?
Get that bloody trumpet and get an idea
what you should do. I ain't a doctor.
Did you speak to the gathering as one of three keynote speakers?
I was the keynote speaker.
Having been introduced as Dr. Daniel Frawley.
Mine was the plenary speech of the night. I was all about...
Just for the 10-minute speech you gave, which I heard was a bit glass-eyed, by the way, but in the subsequent mingling amongst the guests after the speech, did you at any stage seek to correct the fact that you weren't a doctor?
No, I didn't.
And did you engage yourself with doctors in conversations about medicine?
Tools! He's grabbed hold of the warrior! He's pounding into the warrior!
Poor old
Purple, he's being sat on as we speak.
While those two punch on, let me just deal with this, right?
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
The first time. This is very serious.
Not serious.
Impersonating a doctor, that's fraud. The first time I understand it, because some poor lady went, he must be a doctor. Spud, you can't go.
You're talking about rotator cuffs and soleus and posterior cruciates.
I was introduced and I had my first line just embedded in my brain.
I'll give you your first line. I'm not a doctor.
But I practice in front of all these intellectual people, and I must admit, I didn't hear it properly.
That's an indictable offence, but you're now a two-time offender.
That's also known as fraud. Jim. At what stage do you reckon the Nobel Peace Prize and the bloke that invented the plastic hip after Spud being over 2 minutes, they would have turned to each other and go, "Spike a doctor."
They hand him out easy down here. Takes us 8 years in the States.
I must admit, I spoke to Peter Gregg, the chairman of the Primary Health, but $4.5 billion. He said... He said, "Where did you study?" And I said to him, "I said, look, I've just got to go and have another drink. What would you like to drink, Peter?" What was I going to do after an hour and a half? I couldn't say no after that.
He opened with his plug and lock of stuff. He came in with a bit of Louie. I'm like, "Who's the doctor, this bloke?"
When I was operating on that bloke, I was under a pump.
Oh, no.
Spud, you've got a problem, Spud. Mate. You've got a problem. Deal with it, please.
I think I might.
I like it. I like it, Purple.
Oh, dear.
Nice work from you. We got some Wolfpack feedback.
They have absolutely loved exposing Spud. that many people now have branded you Dr. Danny Fraudly.
That's it.
Brendan Maher, the prime objective. Scotty Withers, Mark Savage. They go on and on. Ash Harvey, his text said the AMA are on the phone.
That's it.
They just want a quiet word. Yeah. And Warrior, the love for you comes and continues to flow.
This might be his best ever day.
Well, Steve Sawyer, that's exactly what he says. This might be Purple's best day. He might have gone past Spud as the new number three.
No, that happened a while ago.
That is the overwhelming sentiment coming through, Spud. So... a couple of people want to know where they can make an appointment.
Yep.
You know when you got me when I sort of
start pounding him.
Which I had nowhere to go.
That was very, very... I'm serious though, Spud. You can't keep doing that, mate. As one of your very close friends, you can't keep pretending you're a doctor.
It wasn't my fault, mate. What could I do when I get introduced?
Correct them for a
start. Once is a mistake, but twice is a serious problem.
I had a bead of sweat already. I was that nervous in front of all these intellects.
In fact, on second thought, I'd go the other way, Spud. I'd just crank it right up now. Just bowl
that's
up.
That's right.
Well, in fact, we'll take bookings for the doc.
Yeah. Gaz, I got a text in the ad break too. Not about that topic, but about the one that Jim was the focus of, from Patrick Keane, the AFL's media guru. There's a toilet at basement level next to the media room outside the dressing room.
There is.
Four metres from the dressing room.
I'll go in the Melbourne room.
Piss off, Patrick. How am I meant to know the toilet's there?
Open your eyes, dickhead, like every other person.
I'm a room operator. Now, let me just ask you a few questions, Purple, if we can straighten up a touch, because we need to get to the news of our great game. Tom Boyd, where's he at and where's that whole thing at, given that his club's flying?
Yeah, it is. A big game against Collingwood tomorrow, a crucial game for both clubs, and he is out. Another late withdrawal from that team too, Jim, is Jordan Roughhead. So Michael Taylor will now come into the team on that. But Tom Boyd's interesting, isn't he? Look, the way that contract, that seven-year deal was structured, this year he's actually still on his second year of his first deal. So he's actually on the base entry wage. So he's not on yet receiving the millions of dollars that he will soon receive. But it is, you know, when you get to round 17 of a season of a team playing for a team that's, you know, finals bound and he's out. It's obviously a long-term decision, but it's an interesting one at the same time, guys, that he's out for this crunch game.
Yeah, it's a right decision.
Is it?
Yeah. He's not playing well enough. Yeah. We watched him last week against Geelong and he's not worthy of a spot in the senior team at the moment for a side that's contending, by the way. And I guess the big thing is if you take away the contract that's going to become an issue down the track, whether he justifies that.
Yeah.
Right now, it's no big deal because he's a big 6'7" forward is going to take time.
All right, let me ask you this, Gaz, because you and Spud have an eye for this that I don't have, but I'd like to think I have in another game. When I saw Josh Hazlewood 3 years ago, I said, this is a really good kid. Yep. And at that stage, he was playing the odd game for New South Wales and wasn't ready to go any further than that. But you could see in what he was doing, even though he wasn't getting right all the time, that he was going to be really good. Mm-hmm. So early on, if you know what you're looking at, you go, mate, don't worry. It'll take him a bit of time, but he's going to be a good boy. And now he is a good boy. Are you seeing that in Tom Boyd?
Let me answer it this way. I don't think there'd be anyone who watched all the footy leading up to the draft, and I only watched a small sample because I can't, but I love it, as you know. I'm fascinated by it all. I don't think any club would have said they wouldn't have taken him number one.
But what about you now with the exposure of what you've seen?
I'm happy to wait, and I've seen enough in small patches that he is capable of being a very, very good key position player. But what he does between now and the start of next year will have a big bearing on that, because the days of the very big, less mobile but stronger key position players are gone. You look at all the stars now who are playing key position. You look at Ruff, you look at Jack Riewoldt, you look at Jeremy Cameron. Hogan, quick, mobile, agile,
lateral movement,
not bulky. But so he's going to have to change his body shape.
Tacklers,
yep. And he's going to have to add that sort of stuff to his game. And I guess Tom Hawkins, I always say with him, Tom Hawkins is the best example. Tommy's probably one of the last of the guys that's going to play out of the goal square and maybe nowhere else. So I'm still okay on him, not at that money, but that's a whole different argument.
Yep.
But I'm still pretty confident he's going to be a really good player. But I'm not surprised that he's been dropped today.
Adam Treloar
remains the big name from the Giants who hasn't signed. And as you know, we've been saying, Jim, on this station and the footy show for some time now, Collingwood put the five-year offer to him at $750,000 per those 5 years. And they are still beautifully placed right now. I don't think they've got him locked away, but they know that their offer is compelling. And they know it may well be $200,000 per season more than what the Giants have put to him.
I was at a GWS function yesterday up in Canberra. And
doctor or?
No. Just as Danny Frawley. The word going out that they've put a price and they won't bend from that.
Giants won't.
Yeah, they want to keep him, desperately want to keep him. But they're also, Gaz, and you'll know this, they've got four guys in the under-16 OAS program, and a couple of those boys are scholarshiped up to St. Pat's.
Yep.
And one's Hooper. He'll be drafted next year. So, they've got four or five out of their academy for next year as well. And there's eight kids over the next 3 years that are going to put on their list. So
to the GWS academy.
Okay. But they're in the OAS program as well. So we're talking
some really talented kids. And
it could all be the collateral, couldn't he? Because they went in the order that they did it in was Cameron, yep. Smith, and then they signed yep. Coniglio and Shield. So he's the one left, and he could well be. He doesn't want to go, but the money is going to effectively be over the duration of that five-year offer, $1 million more to go from Collingwood. And Richmond still thinks it's a bit of a chance, and North Melbourne's put an offer in too, but Collingwood's sitting absolutely beautifully there. Guys, you wrote today in The Age about Joe Danaher and how Essendon desperately needs to get some support around him. You wrote about how Hooker is admirably filling that role, but he's not long-term in your eyes. I also want to talk about just a little bit of reference to it. You mentioned Jake Carlisle being that person if he can go back, but at the same time, you wrote in a way that I felt,
yes.
had you saying you had some intel that Jake Carlisle will not be there.
No comment.
I reckon I know you well enough the way you write. There was a little twist in one of those paragraphs.
I don't think he will. That's the mail I'm hearing. And it's a worry for Essendon because what I'm saying is the pressure on Joe Danaher will increase through the roof, and then the focus of opposition clubs will go on him anyway. So what do you need? You need a 6'7" bloke that can take marks, that can kick goals, that can contest, can take contested marks. And Carlisle is that player.
Mm-hmm.
But he don't want to be there, right. I don't think. So that's the conundrum they've got. Do they go, nah, we're going to go all out with a bloke who's reluctant, or do we go, okay, let's use him as a part of this whole negotiating process to try and get someone in? I don't know the whole market and who's gettable, but I think that is the great challenge, because I'd hate to see Joe Danaher in 4 years' time be one of those forwards that can still kick in 30, 35, 40 when he's an 80-goal a year forward, if that's what if he gets that opportunity.
Yep. Alan Richardson, Jim, signed now until the end of 2018, was already contracted. Yep. Spud, you work with him. In some respects, I say the easy bit's been done because there's been no expectation. Yep. They're still under that honeymoon period for Alan Richardson. 4 wins last year, 5 this year. Everything seems to be going well, but the real stuff starts for him, maybe not right now, but as of 2016, I would have thought.
Yeah, it does. He'll get judged at the end of this contract, and that's the beauty. It's a rebuild. The percentage has gone up from 63 to 80, so there's been a marked improvement, only the one extra win. And I'll be disappointed if they don't win, and Richo would, another 2 wins before the end of the year. But that's a great thing for the Saints. They're all on the same page. They know where they're at. And the build, and Richo will be judged at the end of this contract, as I said, 2017-18, but well done.
Go nuts, still loving Warrior. Spud, your young man Hooper, it's Hopper.
Hopper, yes.
Bob sent that one in.
Well done, Bobby.
That's Bob Jackson. This one's from Matthew John. He says, can we get a shout out to Matt, Phil and Hayden, who are streaming you while by the pool in Thailand? So half your luck, nice. Boys. Hello. I hope you're enjoying it. And the man in Rome, I still can't find him. But he text back and said all the Italians are looking at him at the Rome airport wondering why he's laughing out loud.
I loved it, Jim,
and we love the pack.
And that's why we get to him every week, and we get into this as well. Jose Mary hit it.
Now, from the man that brought you...
and gastro, as I understand. And bugger all.
Comes What the Hell.
All right, kicking us off this week, it's been described as a gem of a film. It's The Last Cab to Darwin. On there is, of course, Michael Caton, he of The Castle.
Yep.
Jackie Weaver, I think it wasn't long ago that Oscar. She was nominated for an Oscar. Yep. So some of the heavyweights of Australian cinema also included in this movie, our man, Brian.
What?
And I've managed to get a sneak peek of some of Bristol's work.
What?
Have a listen.
Go, guys.
Who are you?
Kelly Johnson, sir.
Tilly from Oodnadatta. You been training, Tilly?
No, but I wanna.
Sorry, it's too late. Season starts in 3 weeks. I've got no time for bullshit. Come back next year and do a pre-season with us.
That's not all. There's more.
Jim.
So you vouch for him?
Drove him all the way from Oodnadatta, didn't I?
All right, Tilly. Go and see the ladies upstairs. Grab some gear. You can have a run tonight. And you and I'll talk after training.
Yes, sir.
Bristle, Jim, what the hell? They employed Bristle the actor, not Whispering Brian. Lift.
Jim.
Michael Caton's there.
That's as wooden a performance. That's a Pinocchio job, Jim.
Bristle, you're representing all of us when you're in The Last Cab to Darwin.
He's reading that off a sheet.
Come on, Brian.
It's about to be more convincing as a doctor than BT as an actor.
Brian, here we go.
There it is, the glass eyes out. Last Cab to Darwin. Come on, Bristle. All right, So there's the first what the hell, of course. And then I don't watch this show, Gary, but I got told about it one of the early earlier in the week that AFL 360, this is what had been said.
Brent Harvey, is this should be unadulterated celebration as you reach 400.
Yeah.
Just
doesn't feel right, does it? It doesn't feel right to me. Yeah, it's not right, Jared. We've had four players in the history of our game play 400 games, and all I've heard this last 2-3 weeks is what Boomer can't do. I just think that this has been handled really poorly.
Who's at fault? Is it Brad's fault? Is it Brayshaw's fault? I haven't heard Brayshaw celebrate this person publicly yet.
Robinson. What the hell?
Yeah.
Now that we're on last name terms, Robinson. Tuesday, we had Boomer on the Rush Hour, of course, number one FM station, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people listened to it for 10 straight minutes, blowing massive wind up his tiny little freckle. Then Thursday night on the Footy Show, which last time I checked is the most watched show on the dial that has football in front of it across the whole week, we blew another 10 minutes up there. The poor little bastard's had to exhale air out of his ass so he can play footy on the weekend. Robinson, start watching and listening to stuff people actually care about. All right, there me third one, and I'm excited about this one. I'm excited about this one.
Start.
This is a boxer out of the US. If you don't mind, his name's Cam Awesome, and this is the interview after the bout.
Not the decision you wanted. Tell us what happened out there.
I thought I was doing a lot of moving, and I thought I looked amazing, and I thought I won the first round, and I was like, oh, well, he's going to bring some more the second round. That second round came, I was like, oh, okay, I won that round as well. Cam, keep up the good work. You truly look amazing. Some people say you're the Taylor Swift of boxing. I'm not saying I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing, but I'm not saying I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing. And then the third round came, I was like, oh, they could have gave him that round. He did work a little more in the third round. But after a while, I was like, oh, Cam, freedom beat communism. And then they announced the other corner.
Cam Awesome. What the hell? The Taylor Swift of boxing. Now, Cam, I am the third person king, but you've put me in the shade. He's referred to himself 15 times. And Spud, he lost the bout.
Oh, he did it.
Oh, did he? The funniest bit about it. He lost a three-round bout.
I just assumed about round eight that he KO'd the guy.
Three-round bout, and he lost the judge's decision comfortably. And it takes me back, Gary, to a man you and I love.
Yes.
The great Muhammad Ali, yes, who was quoted as saying, "It ain't bragging if you can back it up." Cam Awesome, start backing it up! Why's this actor?
Very good, Jobo.
Oh, that's your best issue, Jim.
Jobo, just take it back to Brian.
About Bristle?
I saw
a gem of a film, Last Cab to Darwin.
A friend of Brian's today and said, oh, Brian's invited us to the picture theatre Sunday night. So he's obviously, BT's got the entourage now.
Has he?
So he's got a private screening.
That's it.
At, somewhere in Hawthorne.
No, I know exactly where it is. It's at the new Lido Cinema in Glenfree Road.
That's where it is.
That's my local haunt. Nice. I was there the other night. I had a tour with the new owner who's done a great job. Got a rooftop cinema, by the way, which is going to crank up in November. But he was talking about Michael Caton's film. I didn't make the connection that the great Bristle was a co-star.
A gem of a film.
Well... That's just, he's acting, we need to, he didn't, we know him so well. Yep. If he played himself,
that's it.
He would be magnificent.
Yeah. Yes.
What he has fallen into the trap of is trying to be a measured coach who, you know, talks like this. And if he had gone, what are you doing here again?
That's it.
And then we
Grumpy
might.
Brian.
So I might even go along. I might even take, it's not far.
Last cab to Darwin, August 6th it starts.
Walk up to the Lido and I might get myself a little seat and a popcorn and critique the Bristle and I'll give you a full review next week.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that would be good.
I have, Gary, as you're aware, similar issues on our 3 to 5 show every week where we do some produced stuff that requires Bill to not perform and be himself.
That's not going to happen.
We have to do 15 to 20 takes every time. I say, listen, fat, just talk like you'd talk to the rest of us, and then he just can't help himself.
That's right. Well, he has been talking himself up, Bristle.
Mm.
He just drops it into conversation and waits for us to go, what movie are you talking about, Brian? But we all just sit there and don't say anything.
Yeah.
So then he'll go, Yeah, and you know, I was up in Darwin. We shot this, and we just sit quiet. Yes.
So he's obviously.
The I'm in a movie. Yeah. And we don't say anything. a real movie.
Yep.
Oh, all right, Brian. So I think hopefully that's not his best.
I think Hose Mary. It might actually work for us to hear a little bit more of. Well, it was whispering Brian rather than acting. Yeah, Brian.
And tell me whether this is real Brian way he would normally. Like if he's a footy trainer and a bloke turns up and wants to train, Brian,
having done no pre-season,
is this how Brian talks?
Go guys.
Who are you?
Timmy Johnson, sir.
Tilly from Oodnadatta. You been training Tilly?
No, but. I wanna.
Sorry, it's too late. Season starts in 3 weeks. I've got no time for bullshit. Come back next year and do a pre-season with us.
Sorry, it's too... would you ever hear these words uttered out of Brian's mouth? Sorry, it's too late. Bristle, come on. You should have got the scriptwriter and said, listen, I'll deliver it Bristle style.
My style.
And then you'll get a real legitimate sort of stuff.
And guess, who are you? It was almost Batman.
Bill Brown.
Who are you?
Batman.
It was.
I'm interested to see whether he was, who he was trying to...
the facial expression.
Channel.
Who he was channeling, Jim. Yes. While he was, is he doing a method acting style?
I'm not sure.
I might go to the pack and see what they think of Bristle's acting.
No, they'll be all over it. Don't worry.
That's exclusive
about
that. Audio, Jim.
Exclusive audio we've managed to obtain, of course. It's never too late to start living. Our last cab to Darwin, August 6th, it starts, a gem of a film.
Trent Cone Heady, when did Brian lose his spine?
You can imagine Bristle. If he's in the tractor out at Romsey, he'll be giving a piss off you.
Run over a sheep while he's getting all agitated.
A man who's had a very, very nice day, the purple-headed warrior, Damien Barrett. In fact, I think the pack will...
best day ever for Warrior, and Warrior agrees violently.
He does.
Catherine wants to know if there's a quiz. I think Kath has asked six times. No quiz today, Kath.
Next week.
1:30, we're off air.
Okay.
And then Spud and I will reassemble at the MCG for Richmond Frio this afternoon.
Yep. That'll be a good game.
This is from Mark Hellier. I hear Gabby Greco looking for a new doctor. Spud. No interest for the looks of that from Spud.
Yes.
Five stars for Bristle's performance from Sport Leisure.
There you go.
He got a five star in the Monageeta Gazette.
That's it.
What is that?
That's his local rags.
Is that where he is?
He lives in Monageeta.
There's no Gazette. Monageeta.
Georgie Carapas reckons Bristle was muzzled by the little director Nipsey.
Must have been.
The old Brian would have sat him on his ass.
Yes.
Who are you?
I think you can't bloody talk lion. I'll read this before
will
I read
you? Now, I know Warriors had a good day, JB.
Yes.
But I want to cast your mind back a couple of weeks ago, or probably a month ago, when everyone doubted me that I'd get plugger on.
No,
I'm not going back down there, which, as Patrick Keane said...
Don't tear up.
No, it's just a matter of how long my acceptance speech at the Media Awards for that ground... It wasn't a guess, you and I.
I'm coming up with you, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
I won't say anything, but I'll...
Yeah, but I won't be introduced as doctor anyway. It'll be,
Now,
JB...
Right, hang on.
I did say at the end of it, we all have to get someone of similar ilk. And Warrior.
He's Warrior's challenge.
Put his plums on the line and said he'd get someone. Listen.
Saturday Rub, July 11, 2015.
You've got to come up with an interview in someone your
field.
Genre. We need to get someone who's up there.
At the same level elevated as standing in your own field. That's
your
what
own field.
What
do you want this for?
Next week or the week after.
Yeah, well, do you accept the challenge, Warrior?
Reluctantly.
I know.
That was July 11.
What is it now?
27 or
28.
25th.
Yep. That's 2 weeks ago.
And I was led to believe from the producer who balked at me putting plugger on the week before that it said it was going to be this week or next week. So it's obviously not this week because we've only got 5 minutes left of the rub.
You're going to drop a 3-minute pearler on us.
We've got a plan A and a plan B and a plan C with this. The plan A is worth pursuing, trust me.
We're not interested in...
B or C, mate.
You know, what's that, Gary?
We're not the labour pain. Show us the baby.
Yeah, you'll get a baby.
When?
You'll get a baby.
What, is it when it's
when
10
I'm
years
good
old?
Ready.
No, on, Peacock.
We're putting
a
time.
A
we've got to put a limit on.
Give me another fortnight, and if
I'll give
if
you fortnight.
Well, it's not.
I could drop in three A-listers between here.
No, we're talking, Jim. I brought Jim into the confidence.
Either next Saturday or Saturday after.
Well, let me ask Jim then. if you keep Spud and I out, because we were already home and home.
I think I'm 101.
With the interview of the year. Jim, is this interview that Warrior is chasing A, realistic, and B, worthy of us giving him a 2-week extension?
It's worthy of the extension.
It's realistic is another matter.
Unrealistic is my
what the
thinking.
Hell, but to quote you.
Well, we got to aim for the stars, Gary.
No.
All you can do in life is aim for them. If you fall short, at least you can say you had a go.
We got the greatest goal kicker in the history of our game on.
We did indeed.
Yeah,
with the greatest percentage.
I love that question you asked. Has it been much rain?
That was the one that nailed the media award.
That's the one that gets him into a nice,
comfortable
state. I'm
going to ask that question of the person I've got in mind.
Okay, Warrior. Is it we talking
about? Well, again, we could.
Local or international?
We'll leave it just as we've left it, Gary.
Warrior, you're starting to annoy me, Warrior. You've got a nice, healthy, you've had a good day, and now you're supposed to have come up. Do you want me to fill in the next couple of weeks?
No. Well, I'll tell you what, Warrior.
There is someone.
No. Watch The Bounce. I know it's on Foxtel, one of the highest rating shows on Fox Footy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll see a groundbreaking interview about 8 o'clock on Sunday night with Danny Frawley. Interviewing. That's me.
That would be useful.
With Danny Frawley.
Shut up. He's onto it. He's
I'm interviewing Amy Schumer. So on the show Sunday night. So just a bit.
She's in that movie Trainwreck, Gary.
Mate, she's the biggest star.
With LeBron James.
With Danny Frawley.
In Bristol's movie.
No. She's the biggest star in America as we speak. The greatest.
Sit down.
I did a sit down.
What would you?
Parkinson like it was.
I might hold my breath.
So, Warrior,
what would you
listen
be
to
doing
it?
That?
Well, just you just have a look and see how the interviewing skills go. I've just after the plugger interview, I found my.
I don't blame you, mate.
Genre.
Shut up now, Spud.
Okay.
Just shut up.
Time to go.
You had a good run. You're going into Bill Brownless territory.
Brownless.
Sorry about that, Bill. Sorry, Billy. Warrior, don't laugh. Get the interview on, mate. The pack will be all over
you
this.
Give me another fortnight.
2 weeks, I'll give you.
With the plan A.
What's a penalty?
And then we go to plan B in week three from here. Is that?
I'm looking at
Jim. Time frame?
I'll give you
two more weeks.
Two more weeks. And what's the penalty if he doesn't get it?
Oh, he gets relegated behind Chua in the pecking order.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Well, whatever I get relegated to, you stay behind me.
No, I won't be happy.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
He's the doctor.
Dr. Frawley.
Forget about that.
No, we won't.
Now, we've had someone ring in.
We won't. I promise you we won't.
We go to GWS Geelong. Enjoy that game. It's going to be sensational. You boys are back for Freo Richmond.
Yeah, we've got the match of the round we have, guys.
I'm on the flight up to Brisbane to ride the little champ home. Yeah, little boom, boom.
Hey, Brayshaw.
Boom, boom. Shake the room.
Give him a pat on the back.
Yeah, Brayshaw.
Yeah, don't worry, Brayshaw.
Will you get on the green stuff tonight?
I'm everywhere, Spud.
If you get on the green stuff after the game.
I'll carpet stroll.
Nothing
I'll
surprises.
Wear where I like, Spud.
Nothing
I do what I want.
Me now.
I'm that big these days.
Watch it
I
now.
Do what I
I'm
want.
I'm going to watch pre-game and after the game.
Well done, Purple. I think been your best day.
Look at
I don't
Purple.
Think there's any question about that.
Look at him. Look at him.
You're walking backwards, he is.
You're right. Purple's going, I am. Yeah, I'm in good form.
Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.